Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show coming up for you guys today on this Wednesday. We're going to talk Ole Miss football today on the show. We're hoping to have Michael Katz join us here in a little bit, talk some Rebels with him. Also going to start our NFC West previews. This is our last NFC division that we have left to preview. We're going to look at the San Francisco 49ers today on the show. 19 of the last 22 years, we've had a team that has gone from worst to first in the NFL. Niners are actually favored to win the division after coming in last place a year ago. We'll look into them. Chase Kitty going to join us middle of the show. And then it is a Wednesday. As you guys know, we're going to give out our golf card for the 3M Open this week out in Minneapolis. We'll talk about some baseball plays if there's time, but we'll give out our favorite baseball plays of the day to wrap up the show during our best bets. As always, love to hear from you guys throughout the show. Chime in with your favorite questions, favorite bets, anything that's on your mind at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube. Send them in to us at the BetMGM Network. Once again, if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. All right, let's get this thing rolling. Talk a little Ole Miss today on the show as Shawnee Sharp there puts up the schedule for Ole Miss. And look, we're going to do a bunch of SEC previews over the next couple weeks. This is going to be one of the easier schedules in the SEC that you are going to see. Ole Miss is very favorable for them. They're the only SEC team this year that does not play a non-conference Power Four opponent, and that is because they were supposed to play Wake Forest, but the Demon Deacons paid them $750,000 not to play them this year. So favorable schedule. They get Georgia State off the bat. They also play Tulane at home. They get Washington State in the middle of the year. They get the Citadel as well. Should definitely win all four of those games. And then the SEC schedule, again, there are some good opponents. Florida, LSU, all those games, though, are going to be at home. South Carolina as well. The trickiest part of Ole Miss's schedule, without question, is that two-week stretch back-to-back, week 8 and week 9, when they have to play at Georgia and at Oklahoma. Those two games are really going to determine if it, probably Ole Miss makes the SEC championship game, maybe if they go over their win total, if they go to the college football playoff. If they can just win one of those games, they should be in a really good spot. So I do like Ole Miss's schedule. I think they're in a good spot here to do some good things for the upcoming season. And it's probably going to come down to that Week 8, Week 9 matchup with Georgia and Oklahoma. Looking at their numbers for the season, the win total is at 8.5. Again, probably five games that kind of scare you. So right off the bat, you're thinking Ole Miss gets the 7 wins. Can they get us 2 more? If they just win 2 of those 3 home games, they should go over the 8.5. If they can beat LSU, Florida, or they can beat South Carolina, they should go over that win total. And then obviously if they're able to steal one of those road games as well, Georgia, Oklahoma, they're going to be in a good spot. At Mississippi State to end the season, the Egg Bowls in Starkville this year, they should win that game. Mississippi State probably going to be the worst team in the SEC yet again. But I do like over 8.5 wins for Ole Miss this season. To make the college football playoff, they're plus 210. And to win the SEC this year, they're 14-1. I would rather bet Ole Miss to win the SEC this year at 14-1. I think that's a much better number, again, because of the schedule. Georgia's probably the only team that they're going to play this year, maybe LSU, that they're going to be battling for a potential tiebreaker. They don't have to play Texas. They don't have to play Bama. They don't have to play A&M. Pretty much LSU and Georgia are kind of those only teams, and I think they're going to beat LSU because that game's in Oxford. But then that game against Georgia is probably going to determine whether or not they go to Atlanta for the SEC title game. I think it's worth it, though, to bet them at 14-1 to win the SEC. And also something that definitely could help out Ole Miss later on in the year if they do make it to the SEC championship game. Their second bye week this season is the second to last game of the season. So there might be an SEC team that's playing five straight games going into the SEC title game, six straight games going into the SEC title game. But Ole Miss having that late bye week, if they play the SEC championship game, they're going to be as well rested as a team could be, because obviously no team can have a bye the final week of the regular season. So another interesting wrinkle there in Ole Miss's schedule. Not only is it pretty favorable with the opponents that they have to play, but looking long-term and looking into the future, if they do end up making it to the SEC title game, I like the fact that they get that bye week second of the last week of the season. And then finally, their quarterback, Austin Simmons. I'm a massive fan of his going into the season. We've talked about that on the show before. I think betting him to win the Heisman Trophy at 35-1 is a great look. We know Kiffin loves to run up the score and pad the stats in a lot of these games where they're big favorites. So when they go up against Georgia State, Citadel, Wazoo, all these games, Simmons could have close to 400 yards passing, five touchdowns, six touchdowns. And I know it was a small sample size, but what he did coming into the game against Georgia for that drive and leading them down the field and scoring a touchdown kind of gave me a little flash of Tua. So full offseason to be the guy, still a young quarterback, surround him with great weapons in a Kiffin offense. I think Austin Simmons could put up some massive numbers. And with that schedule, it's not crazy to think Ole Miss could win double-digit games in the regular season, make it to the SEC title game. Think he's got a great shot. I'm big on Ole Miss this year. I like the over win total, 14-1 to win the SEC, I think is a good look, and Austin Simmons to win the Heisman Trophy as well. But let's talk to somebody who covers the team, knows Ole Miss a whole lot better than I do. We're talking with Michael Katz. Give him a follow on X at Michael L. Katz, who covers Ole Miss athletics for the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Michael, great to have you on again this season, man. Let's talk about Ole Miss. Obviously, a disappointing season last year. Invest a ton in the transfer portal. A lot of money for that roster. Come up short of the college football playoff. This year, Ole Miss's team is bringing back the least amount of production of any team in the SEC. Georgia's the second to last. Ole Miss is dead last. So what are the expectations in Oxford this year? Is it still double-digit wins? Is it get to the SEC championship game? Or do you think this year is kind of a building block for maybe next year when hopefully a lot of these players return?
I think that under most circumstances, this would be a quote-unquote rebuilding year for a lot of programs. But I just think what Ole Miss typically does in the transfer portal and what they've built through recruiting and what we think they have at quarterback, I think that makes it a lot easier to maybe not skip a beat. I think the over-under is around 8, 8.5, or whatever it is. I think, again, the schedule's favorable, and I know that was a talking point last year. It's a talking point this year. But as Lane Kiffin said, you know, that didn't really help us last year because, you know, three games by 13 points, absolutely brutal way to have that season go down, because if statistically that was probably one of the top five teams in the country by pretty much every metric. But it didn't work out last year. That being said, the schedule is favorable. They get some of those tough road games, last year, Florida, LSU, South Carolina. Those are all at home this year. And I think that just what Lane Kiffin has built in terms of just a culture and consistent winning. I at Media Days, I was talking about this with someone, like, a bad year. They went 8-5 a couple of years ago, and people were like really upset about that. Like, that's pretty remarkable for where this program was before Lane got there, and just sort of the standard that this place is at now. 10 win seasons, 3 of the last 4. I've said I think 8-4 is probably a pretty safe bet for, you know, 8 wins. But there's definitely I could see 9. You could talk me into 10. I think there's a lot of wild cards with this team in terms of how it all comes together. But they're really talented again. You know, are they a preseason top five team like they were last year? No. But I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
So obviously Austin Simmons, I mean, we're going to talk about him in a second. A lot of people are excited to see what he does in a full season. But because they are bringing in so many new faces, Michael, who are some other names to maybe keep an eye on this season that you think can be impact players on either side of the ball?
When you look at that receiving room and what they lost last year, you know, Trey Harris, if he doesn't get hurt, I think he probably I think there's a good chance he wins the Biletnikoff Award, and Jackson Dart probably ends up in New York and Ole Miss is in the playoff. He played six full games and he had 1,000 yards, and I mean, he was unbelievable. Second round pick by the Los Angeles Chargers. Jordan Watkins has 900 yards, drafted in the fourth round by the 49ers. But they bring back Caden Lee, who had close to 900 yards last year. It was really a really nice developmental player for them these last couple of years. And then what they did in the portal, by bringing in Deshaun Strubling, a guy from Oklahoma State who had about 900 yards last year, and Harrison Wallace III from Penn State, who I know everybody talked about Tyler Warren on Penn State last year, but he was their leading wide receiver last year. So you brought in guys who, yeah, they don't have experience at Ole Miss, but they have a lot of experience in major college football at big-time programs. So I think the receiving room is going to be sneaky good. Again, it's different than it's been. When you lose the sort of talent they lost last year, it's natural to think that there's going to be a big drop-off. But I think that room is going to be really, really good. And again, I know we're going to talk about Austin, but if Austin's going to have the season we think he can have, I think those receivers are going to play a really, really big part.
Were a lot of people surprised when Austin came into the game against Georgia last year and did what he did? There was obviously so much talk around Jackson Dart coming back for another year, one of the best quarterbacks in the country, ends up being a first-round pick to the New York Giants. So he got a lot of the headlines. But, Michael, I think a lot of us, you know, coming into that spot in the rain, you're down 7-0, and he just goes right down the field. Like I was talking about it, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be Tua, but, like, as a lefty, he was kind of showing me things that made me think of Tua. Did people know he was that good? Like, when he came into the game, was it like, oh, my God, like, look at what we have for next year? I mean, what kind of has been the recruiting story with him? And have people been excited about this upcoming year knowing what they were going to have after Jackson Dart?
Yeah, so his story is pretty wild because he was originally a class of 2025 recruit. He graduated high school 2 years early. He was originally committed to Florida, flipped to Ole Miss, got here right before the 2023 season, redshirted in what should have been, I guess, his junior year of high school, which is kind of insane to think about. You know, obviously, a lot of talk about Dart, and rightfully so. He had an amazing year last year. But I think that we all watched Austin Simmons throw a football, and it just kind of looked different. Obviously, a lefty, the Tua thing always comes up, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, he played baseball, too, and as a freshman reliever on the Ole Miss baseball team, he was throwing 94-95. Like, that's a different type of arm that he's bringing to the table. He doesn't play baseball anymore, but that arm is really, really impressive. It's something that Caden Lee and other players talk about. Like, that's just a powerful arm. So we knew the physical talent was there. I think, though, like, the only times we'd ever really seen Austin was mop-up duty, right? When you're up by 30 or 40 against Wake and you know, Georgia Southern and teams like that. I think I was most impressed with just the composure that he showed in that moment when he came in against Georgia. Because, you know, if you remember that game, Jackson had just thrown an interception, I believe, and right. Georgia had scored. He had gone down with an injury, and, you know, this was one of those things where, if you think about it, if Austin has a bad drive, maybe this thing spirals out of control, like, in the first quarter. But Austin looked like a four-year starting quarterback at an SEC program. He calmly let him down the field, did not look fazed at all by the moment. And I think over the last couple of months, we've really sort of gotten to see, like, that maturity from him. If you talk to him, you come away impressed, because he does not seem like a guy who should have just finished his senior year of high school. I mean, he's just a mature guy. He's already finished his undergrad degree, which, again, insane to do in 2 years. But he's a really mature young man. The physical talent's there. I think that I think that his poise and the way that he handles himself, I don't think that the moment's going to be too big for him. Are there going to be growing pains? Yeah, you're a first-year starting quarterback in the toughest conference in college football. But I think if anybody's ready for it, it's him.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens this year. What about the other side of the ball? When Kiffin first got there at Ole Miss, defense was a big issue. But ever since bringing in Pete Golding 3 years ago, things have really worked out. Pete's a great recruiter. They've built off the last 2 years. Even missing all those studs in their front seven, do you think they're going to be solid on defense again this season?
It's crazy. You know, Lane's first year, they gave up like 40 points a game in that COVID year. And last year, they had the number two scoring defense, I believe, in the country at just over 14 points a game. That was a pretty remarkable defense. I know the offense always gets headlines with Lane Kiffin, but that defense did a lot of the lifting last year when, you know, maybe they were in a stalemate offensively. That being said, they lost a lot of really good players. Walter Nolan, Princely Montiel, and Jared Ivey, J.J. Pegues, Chris Paul, you know, Trey Amos, all guys who played a huge part and are on, you know, in NFL camps right now. That being said, the portal has been really good to Ole Miss on defense, too. And like you mentioned, Pete Golding is a really good recruiter. I think now that people have seen that you can have a really, really good defense at Ole Miss, I think that's helped a lot. Because now it's like, yeah, everybody wants to go play wide receiver at Ole Miss, but now you can be a defensive lineman at Ole Miss and be a first-round pick. So I think that's been really big. They've got some really nice players in the portal, maybe not the headliners like they had last year. But, you know, Deshaun Womack was a top 50 recruit when he went to LSU, edge rusher. Princely Umanmielen's little brother, Prince Will Umanmielen, was a big recruit. They got him. And they've built up the defensive front through high school recruiting, too. I think that, you know, the secondary, it's a question mark. And it was a question mark a little bit last year outside of Trey Amos. It was a little bit hit or miss. But Pete Golding defenses are at their best when the front seven is really aggressive and really good. And I think that this team, this group, while obviously younger and maybe not as heralded, has a chance to be really, really good. Are they going to be number two in scoring defense again and have 52, whatever sacks it was, and 100-something tackles for loss? I don't know. But I think this group is really talented, and it's. I don't think the drop-off is going to be as stark as maybe some of my fear it might.
We got about 1 minute left, Michael. I'll just ask you this. If you could bet anything with Ole Miss this season, if you could go over 8.5 wins, if you could bet them to make the college football playoff, if you could bet them to win the SEC, or even go bold and think this team is good enough to win the national title, if you were to bet them in any of those markets, or even I'll throw Simmons to win the Heisman Trophy in there, kind of whatever you want, futures bet, what do you think would be the way to go in about 60 seconds with Ole Miss this year?
Yeah, as you know, I'm not a betting man these days, but I think that win total, I think there's a – I've been talking myself into 9-3, 10-2 lately just because I think they're going to be better than people think. They only play three games outside of the state of Mississippi this year. Mm-hmm. And those are Kentucky, which we know what happened last year, but that should be a manageable game. Georgia, we know it's going to be brutal. And Oklahoma. Again, two of those three seem fairly manageable. They've been really good at home for the most part under Lane. I think that over on 8.5 wins is again not a betting man, but 9-3 is not sounding so crazy.
Yeah, I'm with you. Should be an interesting season. Can't wait to watch Austin Simmons this year. Michael Katz, kind enough to join us. Give him a follow on X at Michael L. Katz. Covers Ole Miss Athletics for the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Michael, really appreciate it, man. Talk to you again soon. Enjoy the season.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Yep, absolutely. All right, you guys, let's keep it rolling now into the NFL as we talk a little San Francisco 49ers here on Send It In. And as I was talking about at the very beginning with San Francisco, what's interesting about them, 19 of the last 22 years in the NFL, we've had a team that has gone from worst to first, right? A team that finished last in their division the previous year and then ends up winning their division the next year. The Niners are obviously favored to win the NFC West, so even though it would count, it's really not kind of the shocking teams that we see normally year after year in the NFL. I do like this San Francisco team. A lot of people are going bullish on San Francisco, betting them to get the number one seed in the NFC, betting their over win total at 10.5. I do understand the strategy with San Francisco to bet them to win the Super Bowl at 20-1 or bet them to win the NFC as well. I think both of those are decent bets. I would go big with San Francisco. Last year, the injury bug just caught up with them. A team that's obviously made some deep runs in the NFC over the last few years, kind of have a veteran team, and just all the injuries hit them. Purdy wasn't very good, and they just couldn't overcome it. But this year, big reset. A lot of moving parts during the offseason. You bring in Salah to run the defense, which I think is going to be a really good move. McCaffrey should be fully healthy going into this season. And look, they play the AFC South this year, and they play the NFC South. So the schedule, very favorable for the 49ers. The bet that I'm going to look at, though, is Brock Purdy to win MVP. If you want kind of a longer shot in the MVP market, I think it's Brock Purdy at 28-1. The reason being, three of their final four home games this year are going to be at home, which certainly helps. Three of their final six games are going to be in prime time. Obviously, if you want a guy to win MVP, you want him in the national spotlight. You want when everybody's watching, when everybody's talking about it, when everybody's making comments on Twitter and getting his perception, getting his hype up. Well, Purdy's going to be on national TV three of the final six games of the season. They're also going to be at home, as I mentioned, and they're playing against some of the worst pass defenses in the league from last year. So a lot of really favorable scenarios for Brock Purdy. How about this, too? He only has to play two road games outdoors in like cold weather in the final couple months of the season. November 2nd, they're on the road at the Giants, and then November 30th, they're at the Browns. Other than that, though, they're at the Colts, which is obviously going to be indoors. They're at the Cardinals, which is going to be indoors as well. And then they have all those home games, which are outdoors, but it's going to be in Santa Clara, so it should be some good weather. So the weather situation, kind of dome outdoor situation's great. Final four games of the year being home-friendly, primetime games, and Brock Purdy being in a Shanahan offense. I know the receiver situation's a little dicey. Ayuk should come back middle of the year. You're replacing Deebo Samuel. They need Ricky Pearsall to step up, but I just think the number and the situation on Brock Purdy, that is how I would attack San Francisco this year. Really don't like anything with the win total, with the futures market, but Brock Purdy MVP, I do see some value there and a path for him, so that will be my bet on the Niners. All right, let's talk with our guy now, Chase Kitty, who joins us on Send It In every Wednesday. Give Chase a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty, BetMGM writer. Chase, want to talk some football, sir, but we got a tennis tournament going on in my backyard here in D.C. with the City Open. What bets do you have for us today in tennis?
Yeah, your backyard, my side yard, I guess. I liked something in the Opelka Medvedev match. It started early, so we're already eight games into that. So that one might just be on the cup.
All right, very good, Chase. Let's talk some college football. Yesterday, we had a Georgia guest on the show, Patrick Garbin, and I talked about it with him, and he felt the same way. Chase, I mean, it just feels like not a lot of people are talking about Georgia. Obviously, Texas and Arch are getting a ton of hype. But not a lot of Georgia talk. Team that won the SEC last year. They upgraded the receiver position. We know under Kirby the defense will be good. But what do you make of Georgia this season? Do you feel like a lot of people are not really talking about Georgia, and that might be a mistake?
Yeah, I'm gonna be SEC skeptic, I think, on the show today. Okay. Just you know, give you a little bearish look. It's not that I'm down on Georgia. It's that I think the market is about right. I think you've laid it out nicely. They're going to have an upgraded receiver room. They're going to have a less experienced quarterback. The defense is probably going to be pretty solid there. So you're probably looking at a team that's going to be 10-2, roughly speaking, in a really deep SEC that's going to play a challenging schedule and is probably going to make the playoff. So when you look at the futures market, 9.5 with massive juice to the over, you're looking at around minus 190 right now at BetMGM. That's a pretty efficient market. I don't see much of an angle there. You're going to have to lay north of $2 for them to make the playoff. I don't really see that as an angle. So I don't see a lot in terms of betting with Georgia. I would rather just go grab, I would rather make a super contrarian play and bet, hey, maybe they're going to go 9-3. Because they've just bled so much talent into the NFL. They lost something like, you know, people think of last year as a down year for them. They still lost something like 14 draft picks into the NFL. So I think I'd rather go super contrarian and play an under or play a no playoff or something just because of how slanted the market is.
Another team that lost a lot of returning production is Ole Miss. We just had Michael Katz on. We were talking Rebels with him. Chase, they're an interesting team because maybe Austin Simmons is like DJ Uiagalelei 2.0, where we saw DJ fill in for Trevor Lawrence in the COVID game against Notre Dame. Goes crazy. We all think he's going to be a star, and it turns out not to be the case. And maybe we're falling prisoner to the moment with what we saw against Georgia with Austin Simmons, or he turns out to be awesome. I think that's what makes Ole Miss a fun team. I think he's going to be pretty good. What are your thoughts on Simmons and Ole Miss?
Yeah, man, when I get some ROI out of my Matt Corral Heisman ticket, I'll just cover everybody's costs for the Simmons Heisman campaign. On the Heisman front specifically, I have been burned too many times in the preseason. Like, I kind of like this Lane Kiffin quarterback for Heisman.
Yeah.
So I'm totally laying out there. I was a little surprised to see the number at 8.5 when I first looked at it, and I was like, that seems kind of low. And I went and looked at all the bleed from last year. I looked at the schedule. I think Oklahoma and Georgia are two dead losses. I think they have no chance in either one of those games. Here's a little stat for you. Lane Kiffin, since going to Oxford, 1-4 straight up in SEC openers, 0-5 against the spread. So that trip to Lexington week two, I think that is way more dangerous than maybe the average person realizes. I think the South Carolina game could be a total flat spot after getting your butt kicked in Norman and Athens back-to-back games. So I think the path to 8 wins is there. I would like a plus number if I'm going to make that bet. So that's not going to be like a full-throated bet that I can advise. But I see why the market is where it is, and I think this is clearly a second-tier SEC team that we're going to see this year. So I am more bearish on Ole Miss than maybe than you and some others are.
All right, I like it. I think that's a totally fair case on Ole Miss. What about in the NFC West, Chase? This should be a fun division. San Francisco finished last year. They finished last year. Now this year they are favored to win the division. The Rams should have a good team. Cardinals and Seattle could be playoff teams. I don't know if people maybe like them to win the division necessarily, but who do you like in the NFC West this season? Who do you think wins that division?
I think the Rams are a legit Super Bowl contender. I never like to overread a competitive playoff loss, but I think the Rams told you how close they were last year with that Eagles game in the postseason. And then to have a productive offseason where I really liked a lot of their ads, I just think they're going to be really good. I think they're going to be one of the two or three best teams in the NFC. So I like not just the divisional plays, but NFC plays and Super Bowl plays on them as well. And then I would take a shot with something like the Cardinals to make the playoffs, or, you know, I have a lot of questions about that Seattle offense, but if you feel like the defense is going to be there, maybe you want to take a shot with them for a make the playoff future. I think you can get creative with the bottom half of that division. San Francisco is the team I feel like I know the least about. Because it feels like the options are so open for what they could be or how mediocre they could be. Maybe last year was a sign that the sort of the cap situation and the integrity of that roster is setting, that there's not going to be a bounce back. But I don't know. That's the team I feel like I have the least feel for in that division.
Fair enough. Really good stuff, Chase Kitty. College football, NFL, a little tennis as well. Give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty. Bet MGM writer. Chase, always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk again next week.
Yeah, see you, Peach.
All right, pal. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here. A couple of minutes left on Send It In. Let's get into our golf card for the 3M Open. We go to Northern Ireland. We go from Northern Ireland to Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's like we never left. And here we are with our plays this week at the 3M. Michael Thorbjørnsen, 30-1, is going to be one of our outrights this week, along with the pretty kitty, Kurt Kitayama, at 40-1. Both of these guys, top 12 strokes gained off the tee. That is the key metric we are looking for this week. Water is lurking all over this golf course. You better be able to keep it in play. And also, long hitters tend to fare well here at this golf tournament. So we're going to take those two guys to win. Come right back with Thor and Pendrith in the top 10. Taylor Pendrith, another guy, has had a really good season on tour. Long hitter, very good strokes gained off the tee. So we'll take them in our top 10 at plus 333. And then how about Kurt Kitayama and Tony Finau, plus 175. Finau's got the best course history of any golfer in the field this week. He's done this multiple times, play the Open, and then go straight to Minneapolis. So he's kind of in tune with that, plays well here, has won here before. So he'll be in our top 20, Kitayama and Finau. All right, really quick, Sean, we'll do the BetMGM promo, and then we'll give out our favorite plays of the day. And no matter where the action is, we'll supercharge the odds on your next sports bet. Use this odds boost token to boost your potential payout from a winning bet. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Board in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today. All right, you guys, let's give out our best bets on this Wednesday. Josh Young against J.P. Sears to get a base hit. Young 5-for-15 in his career against J.P. Sears. You guys know I love my right-handed hitters against my left-handed pitchers. Young will be our play today and going streaking. Let's go with Thorne Bjornsson, top 10, plus 333. Like him a lot this week. Think he's going to be in contention. Milwaukee Brewers, dog of the day. I've taken Seattle the last 2 days, but not today because Quinn Priester's on the mound. Milwaukee's won 9 straight games in which he has started. He's going to be our dog of the day. And then give me Yankees, Blue Jays, under 8.5. Max Fried on the bump. Chris Bassett, very good in his career against the Yankees. Under 8.5 in Yankees and Jays. Thanks again to Michael Katz, Chase Kitty for joining us on the show today. See you guys tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.